1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." I'm going to read verse 14, although I'm not going to mention it this morning, but it says, "Let all things be done with charity or in love." That's the underlying rule, isn't it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your watch care over us. We thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, that we have this great gift of salvation wrapped up for us, freely given. All we must do is receive. And then, Lord, as we are ushered into this great household and family of faith, we become co-laborers with you. And you tell us then that we are asked to come alongside of you and work in the field, in the harvest. And indeed, the harvest is great. And we pray, Father God, that even in these days to come, that you will work in our midst. Father, we see and understand that many places in the world, your Spirit is being poured out. You're shaking continents. Lord, we don't hear much about that in the news. We hear all the bad stuff. But Lord, you're at work, and we would like to be a part of it right here in America once again. So Lord, selfishly we pray, Father, pour out your Spirit upon us again. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I've told this story before, but it's a true story. It is a great story, and it illustrates what I want us to think about this morning. Billy Kim is a evangelist in Korea. He is very well known in the Far East. He's kind of the Billy Graham of the Far East. He is Korean. And somebody, I suspect, invited him to come to our base at Osan and partake with us in a church service. And so he did. He came. And the first thing he did, he shared this story, and then he preached that night. But he shared this story. He said, when the North Koreans swept down out of North Korea through South Korea, that his village was one of those villages that was taken over by the North Koreans. And he said they had a small church in their village. And he said the communists gathered them all up. They brought a picture of Jesus out of the church and set it on the ground. And the communist lieutenant said, "Now this is what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you to step forward, spit in the picture. If you spit, you go to the right and live. If you don't, we're going to shoot you." So the first person up was the pastor. The pastor came forward, spit on the picture, and went to the right. Second person up was one of the deacons. He came up, spit on the picture, and went to the right. Third person that came up was another one of the deacons. He came up, looked at the picture, spit on the picture, and went to the right. And then this little 9-year-old girl came up, got on her knees, kissed the picture, and went to the left. The communist lieutenant turned around and shot the pastor and the two deacons. And this is what he said. He said, "If they can't be true to their God, they'll never be true to communism." Billy Kim said, "I was the next one up." To me, that story exemplifies that what I'd like us to think about this morning, talk about this morning, and that is being committed, our commitment to the Lord. That we be people of integrity, that we be people of honor, that we keep our word. When we commit ourselves to something, we're in there for the long haul. And so I'd like you to think about that this morning, that God is calling us to be people of integrity, that we keep our word, that we work with integrity in the harvest field that God has given to us. And so Paul begins by saying here in verse 13, "Watch ye." Maybe you're looking at another translation, but it's basically saying to be alert. Be alert. Paul is warning the Corinthians. He's saying for them to watch out for those who seek to cause division. One of the greatest strategies that the devil has ever had, and we've learned that that strategy works in all kinds of instances, divide and conquer. So Paul is telling them to watch out, be on the alert for those who would seek to cause division. Be on guard to the dangers from without, but also be on guard for the dangers that are within that cause so much havoc. You know, it's easier for us, I think, to resist the danger from without. Somehow or another, we see that one more clearly. But the danger from within seems like those kinds of dangers we are walking together. And we think, or we understand in our hearts and minds, that this purpose-driven group is going in the same direction, but that's not always the case. So it's harder for us to see that because we do walk together in some senses. Greek scholars tell us that actually all five of these, and the fifth one would be, let all things be done in love. That these are exhortations in the present tense imperative. So that means that what this Paul is saying to us here in this particular place, he's saying, watch ye. Be alert constantly. Not just today and relax tomorrow. But be constantly alerted to the possibility that the enemy is all around, outside, inside, and that they're ever at work, and they're like little moths working on the sweater. And eventually it will come unraveled if we don't do something about it. If we don't put some mothballs in there, if we don't get the swy swat out, you know, and swat them or something like that. So we are to be watching, to be alert at all times. The second one is found right there. It says, stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. In fact, not only are these present tense imperatives, but they also share something else. The first four of these are all military commands. So, you know, having some military background, sometimes, you know, we use language, military language, and we know what that means, but some people don't. You know, like it is, what? 1400 hours. What is that? 2 o'clock. So we use these things. Well, Paul is borrowing from the military, these commands. So he's telling us to watch ye, and then he's saying to us to stand fast. There's kind of a flash alert going on here that Paul is talking about. He's saying to us, hold your ground. Do not retreat in the face of the enemy. You know, the values of this world are constantly shifting, aren't they? They're like shifting sand. Many, many times this causes problems for those who espouse those values because sometimes they get on the wrong page. Sometimes they forget that this particular thing that they're espousing today, tomorrow it's going to change. So these are shifting values. But the principles of the Word of God, they do not change. And we are called royal ambassadors for the principles of God. We're standing on the principles of God. I thought to myself, as I prepared this little sermon, and it will be little, actually, so say hooray, that I don't know, you know, but when the song came this morning, standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, I thought, okay, and then the next one, as well. And I thought, okay, all right. So we're royal ambassadors. We're to stand firm and hold our ground in the faith. In the faith. Many, many times when we stand for Jesus, there is going to be criticism, isn't there? Many, many times when you espouse a value, there is going to be a negative reaction to that. And generally what happens is that negative reaction is so overpowering and it is such a sharp attack that we shrink back from that value. And of course the enemy then says, aha, we've taken that ground. And in fact, that's probably what's happened. We've seen that in many arenas. We've seen that in the arena of life. Here we are in the year 2012 in our society, 1973, Roe versus Wade. And we've seen this battle of, it's abortion on demand. It has nothing to do with rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And we have seen how that particular value has been championed and every other value has been shouted down to where today, if anything is said whatsoever in any other kind of note, it's always a violent reaction to that particular stance. Grabbing the ground because we're shrinking from the battle. And then Paul goes on to say, and this is the one, of course, that really caught my eye this week when I was thinking about this. He says, watch ye, stand fast, what? In the faith. And then he says, quit ye like men. Most scholars tell us that we ought to link those two together. And so instead of having two points there, it should be really one. Quit ye like men and what? Be strong. These are verbs. Many times they're combined in the Old Testament and to exhort God's people to have courage in the face of real dangers. Not something hypothetical. It's real. And what Paul is asking us to do, as they were asked to do, is act like men and women of valor. Act like men and women of faith. That's who you are. You've named the name of Jesus. You've appropriated the forgiveness of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you. That's what the Bible says. You're His royal ambassadors. You're co-laborers with Him. You are to be witnesses unto me. All those things. And so we are to act like who we are. Be people of virtue. Be people of honor. Be people of integrity. Be people of truth. That's what we're about. Don't shrink back from those values. Of course, when 9/11 happened many years ago, we saw our police and firemen in New York City, especially because we had that in real time, didn't we? We watched those folks go into a dangerous situation. Now, I want to say I suspect, because we never quite do this, but I suspect that they didn't say to themselves as they were putting on their helmets that day, I'm going to die today. I don't suspect that they thought that, although in moments of reflection at other times, they probably realized, boy, you know, when we did this and did that, we could have died that day. Well, this day, of course, was the day. But yet, they went, didn't they? They established those, they went through their procedures and they established those things and, of course, literally thousands died that day. And we honor them. We honor them as real people who demonstrated heroic values. Of course, there's always the naysayers, aren't there? But in general, we pull together as a people for at least a month or two. Short time, but at least a month or two. We came together, and it was okay to say, God bless America. It was okay, at least for a month or two, for somebody to get up and pray for somebody in Jesus' name for a little while. But then it recited, didn't it? And we're here to the place we are today. Well, on another 9/11, just a little while ago, and we don't know exactly what happened, do we? We don't know what happened. But there is someone that we do know acted with valor. There is someone that we do know who said, I shall stand and I shall put myself in harm's way for somebody else. And of course, it's taken several weeks for us to even figure out who this person was, who these people are actually, and what they did. Because the accounts of this was so muddled that we're still not getting the whole story. But we do know that Tyrone Woods was not assigned to protect the ambassador, J. Christopher Stevens. He was not on that detail. He was a CIA operative, not too far from the scene of the battle. And when the battle erupted, he contacted through the proper channels, not only top secret channels, but flash channels that go straight to the top, the operations center in the White House, requesting that they could go to the aid of the ambassador. And we know of three times, because these are lower classified messages. We don't have the top secret clearance. We don't have the flash traffic. I suspect it's worse. But we know at least three times they offered to go and they were told to stand down. Don't do it. And this young man, Tyrone Woods, said, I'm going. And he went. And of course, we know now that this was not some small particular firefight that lasted a few minutes and the ambassador was killed. But this lasted for at least 8 hours, maybe longer. And he was killed by mortar fire taken at the scene. Well, we don't know about all the other stuff, but we have gleaned enough information now to know that here's a man of valor. Here's a man who stood in the face even of disobeying a direct order to stand down. He went. And I don't know, and I'm sure eventually, and you know, sometimes that's the way it works, because the shifting sands of values in the world are so are such in that it may be 20 years before this man receives the Medal of Honor. But he will. But he will. But he will. So one thing we can be certain of, even in the small amount of information that we have received, is that he did the right thing. And he acted heroically. Glenn Daugherty and Shane Smith as well. All gave their lives trying to protect the ambassador. Some weren't even assigned to that detail, but they went anyway. So we can say here is a good example. You know, we should be good examples. Did you know that? Of Jesus and for Jesus. The world can tell us, stand down. But you know what we're supposed to say? I've got higher orders than that. I've got more direct orders than that. And they never waver. There's never a shameful action there. Proceed on. Stand. And now sometimes when you stand, you die. I could go through a litany of people, of Christians throughout the ages who have been called upon to stand for Jesus, and they gave their life in that respect. And sometimes only after years were those actions recognized as being the spark of something great that happened in the dynamic and the power of the Spirit of God moving to change and transform lives. Just recently, we became aware of a pastor in Iran who was put in prison for simply stating his faith. He was put into prison. Does anybody remember what for? Blasphemy. You see, any criticism of the prophets, blasphemy, it is worthy of death. So when he spoke about Jesus and named him Lord, he was also speaking negatively of the prophet Muhammad, who is not a prophet. But he was willing. It's easy for me to say it here, isn't it? But he said it in Iran. Not only did he put his life in danger, which is enough, but he put his whole family in danger, didn't he? And after weeks and months of being in prison, and I'm sure being assaulted probably every day, with the idea, just simply recant. Just simply say you didn't mean it. We'll let you go. And you can get in Switzerland or America or wherever. And then you can say, I didn't mean that. But he wouldn't do it. And in this instance, praise God, what happened? They let him go the other day. And he didn't get on a bus and leave the country. He went right back to his pulpit. He went right back to where he was. And he's preaching Jesus. What a thorn in the side that must be. Woo! You know he's on the top of the list. You know, if he spits on the sidewalk someplace, he's probably going to be arrested. But he's willing to watch and stand fast in the faith, to act like a man of God, hold true to the values of the principles of the Word of God. I think to myself many, many times, how would we act if we were in that place? How would we act if someone took a picture of Jesus and put it on the ground and said, spit on it and live? What would we do? I think to myself, we wouldn't spit. We would go to the left. Well, that's the right answer. But would it be our answer? Because it seems to me like sometimes some of the smallest little things throw us off the track. There's no death involved. All it is acting with a little humility. And we want to give up. Well, you just can't imagine what Otis said to me the other day. I was just standing there and he just said this. I can't imagine it. He has embarrassed the life out of me. So what? So what? The life that's in you is supposed to be lived by the Son of God, is it not? So you've been purchased with a price. You're not your own. In this particular case, God would speak to Otis, wouldn't he? As well as to speak to me, if that was this example. Otis hasn't done that. Not today, anyway. I've probably done it to Otis. Aren't we willing to do anything that calls for sacrifice? Or are we just, if it's easy and it's comfortable and it's nice and it's acceptable and there's no pushback, then I'll do it. But if there is, well, let me just say, friends, we'll never make a mark in this world for Jesus with that mealy-mouthed, compromising attitude. It will not happen. God cannot honor it, and He will not honor it. But if you stand for Jesus, not knowing the outcome or the consequences, God will honor it. He will be with you. He will give you the strength. Matter of fact, He'll give you the words to say. And you'll have victory. Maybe not then, but you will have victory.